older sister, and he was from the New England area and loved golf. So as little kids, as we got older, he kind of took it upon himself to teach us all how to play golf. So he'd bring his clubs, bring his balls. My grandparents had 5 or so, 6 acres, so we'd go out in the field and we would, hit golf balls. And he would watch our swing and he would give us different tips and what to do and how to move your legs and the importance of the backswing and the importance of the follow-through, right? So, of course, usually as little kids, all we desired to do was just knock the heck out of the ball, right? So usually when you put a ball in front of us, the whole kind of swing and the whole kind of all the technique just went out the window, right? Because we just wanted to kill it, you know, try to get it as far as we could. And if you've ever tried this strategy in golf, that's usually when the ball goes, you know, it doesn't go where it's supposed to go. It goes off to the side, you hit the top of it because you start looking up to see where it's going to go and it's still in front of you. So good sense of humility there. I kind of use this example just in the sense of the importance of following through, right? All of us entered into the beautiful season of Lent. Fasting, prayer, almsgiving, kind of entering into what it means to live for Christ and not to live in this world and to be dependent upon Him. We entered into the Triduum, so Jesus is, again, Passover, his Easter, right? We enter into our own Easter with Him through our baptism, as we too with Him pass over from death into life. Just as Jesus came and breathed the Holy Spirit upon them, we too are filled with the Holy Spirit and are seeking to live in the Spirit, right? This is life for Christians, living in the Spirit. So for us, as we enter into this season of Easter, we've been rejoicing these last 8 days, continuing the solemnity of Easter, and we'll have about another 43 days of the season of Easter till Pentecost. So how are we going to continue to follow through, right? How are we going to continue to walk with Christ? Just because Lent is over, Easter is over, doesn't mean we per se go back to the way we were before. But what way have we learned? What have we received? How can we continue to follow through, continuing to pray, hopefully continue to do a little bit of fasting, hopefully continue to give alms and to share and to give, right? So real quick, mercy. The root of it, and I've spoken about this a couple of times, is covenant fidelity. So interesting enough, right? God made a covenant with His people. He made a new covenant by Jesus' death and resurrection with us. So that new covenant happens when we are baptized and we enter into the life of Christ. So God sees it as His end of the covenant, of the deal, is to help us to live as Christ, as His sons and His daughters. And God doesn't take this lightly, right? He is faithful to the covenant that He has made with us. And He doesn't just, we baptize and He says, peace out, good luck, you know. God is with us. Even when we lock ourselves into an upper room, even when we doubt, even when we're hardened of heart like Thomas, God is still there. He is still present. He remembers the covenant that He has made with us, and He is faithful to it to the end, right? To our end, until we are with Him in heaven, with Him in paradise. So God is ever present and is ever faithful to that covenant. And He desires for us to believe in Him, to believe in this covenant that He has made with us and that we've entered into Him, to believe that He is going to help us and not abandon us. So God, again, has mercy over and over and over again. So just in the image, right, the side of Jesus where He was pierced, there's a kind of a red light and a blue light that are shining forth. So the kind of image, of course, Christ is our light. The blue color kind of gives the symbol of baptism, of water, new birth, rebirth, flowing from His side. Also the red light, the red symbolizes blood, which we would say symbolizes the Eucharist, right? So as we are fed. So God, in His mercy for us, where do we experience His mercy? Two different ways, right? Two particular sacraments that we can receive over and over again, which truly help us to live out our baptism, which is that sacrament of the Eucharist. And it's so awesome to see so many of our students and parishioners who are here, definitely on Sunday Mass, definitely in daily Mass, recognizing their desire to receive God's mercy and his faithfulness to the covenant that he has made with us as he continues to feed us and to give us strength and teaches us to live in his spirit, right? And how beautiful it is here to see lines, sometimes 30, 40, 50 people in confession each day, kind of recognizing that their own fault and their desire to be reconciled back and to receive God's generous mercy. A lot of times tell people in confession that you are here because there is something you receive here that you can't receive anywhere else, right? I sometimes say, you know, you don't show up at the mechanic unless there's a problem with your car, right? You don't show up at the dentist unless there's a problem with your teeth, right? You are here because you recognize you desperately need God's mercy, and you desire to enter back into this covenant that God has made with you, to receive his fidelity to the covenant that he has made. So God is merciful with us, and we grow, and we live out our baptism as we receive these sacraments, as we renounce sin, as we are forgiven, as we seek to come and be fed at the table, God's body and blood poured out for us. And this is how our baptism takes shape, right? When we live out the sacraments, when we pray each day, when we grow in relationship with the Lord, when we find our peace only in him and ask him to help us to live in the spirit that he gives to us. So finally, I just say, as we heard in that first reading, the generosity of the first believers, generousness, as they have, kind of their whole life was changed. Their whole priority was changed. And in a generosity of time, talent, and treasure, I'm not necessarily asking you to add a lot more to your plate. But what I believe the generosity that is spoken of in that first reading is, am I being generous in the right places? Am I being generous? Are my priorities, first and foremost, to live out my baptism? Are my priorities to take care of what God has given to me? Are my priorities to see him and my brother and my sister? Are my priorities to share the things that I have that I don't necessarily need, or I have enough of, or I want to be dependent upon him and not just on the things that I have? How is the Lord moving you as we follow through Lent, Easter, into this beautiful season of Easter, heading towards Pentecost? How is he desiring for you to recognize your own desire to be generous? Just as he was generous by his death on the cross, he gave everything. How is he calling you through your baptism to be generous of your time, talent, and treasure, that you may continue to live out your baptism? And finally, I know I said finally once, but I'll say it a second time. Just been a lot of the mercy, I think, really can be understood in the sense of paternal care, of parent care. We have a lot of families, a lot of parents who are here. And as your children are born, as you receive them, there you, in some sense, make a covenant with them, right? You take it upon yourself to care for them. You take it upon yourself to watch over them, to keep them safe, to not play in the street. You're attentive to the food that they eat and not sticking certain things in their mouth that they shouldn't be eating. And you're attentive. And as they grow, you teach them, you love them, you are present to them. You're helping them to be independent, but you're helping them to be dependent upon God, their Father. And you are very merciful with your children, right? Many times you have probably said things over and over and over again till you're blue in the face sometimes. But there was a care, right? This is the same way that God is faithful and merciful to us. He never stops walking with us, helping us to live out our baptism, filling us with his Holy Spirit. So may we recognize, may we not be ashamed of God's mercy and care. Even though we haven't figured it out, may we recognize God's generosity to helping us to live out our baptism, to be Christ in the world, and to be generous with what he has given to us.
Thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.